This morning, we have gathered for a special program to honor the devotees who participated in the yearly marathon to distribute our beloved spiritual master's books. It is sometimes called the Christmas Marathon in Western countries. I believe here in India, other parts of the world, it's referred to as Srila Prabhupada Marathon. But it is a glorious occasion whenever and wherever the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is increased. One time, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. Ananda buddhi bhadavanam. Krishna consciousness becomes blissful, it becomes relishable when the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expanding throughout the world. Actually, this phenomena of book distribution is nothing new. Historically, the importance of books and the distribution of transcendental knowledge began 5,000 years ago, just after the departure of the Lord to his own abode. Within moments of the Lord's departure from this world, Kali Yuga began in a very insidious way. Simultaneously, Srila Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of the Lord, Shaktavasya Avatar, perceiving or predicting the fallen nature of this age, people's tendency towards sense gratification, sinful activity, and the result of being unable to assimilate transcendental knowledge, primarily because their memory would be affected. He took the one Veda and he divided that into four Vedas. And along with the help of Ganeshji, he wrote down that Vedic knowledge for the people of Kali Yuga. Previous to this age, in Dwapara Yuga, in Treta Yuga, in Satya Yuga, people were so advanced that just upon hearing Vedic knowledge, they would not only be able to remember, they would understand, and in many cases they would be vigyan, or they would realize that knowledge. This is the days of yore. But with the commencement of Kali Yuga, people's spiritual qualities became greatly diminished. So they would not be able to hear and remember, apply, realize. So out of compassion, Srila Vyasadeva wrote it down. So you could take the book and you could read. You could take the book and you could read. You could take the book. Repetition, Prabhupada said, is necessary for understanding the subject matter. So this is the beginning of the dissemination of knowledge through the written word. As we say in modern terminology, the pen is mightier than the sword. So down through the millennium, because millennium refers to 1,000 years at a time, down through the millenniums to the present age, through our, or through the many disciplic successions, this knowledge was disseminated to the public at large. With the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, this knowledge became available to the entire world. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangopanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Shu Merashaha. Mahaprabhu's message was meant to be disseminated to the entire human race, not just India, where it was contained for thousands of years. The treasure house of Krishna consciousness was meant to be broken asunder and distributed to the entire world. So in that light, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave three instructions to his principal disciples. He had many disciples, but his principal disciples were the Sad Goswamis, or the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he gave instructions, very specific instructions, to those Goswamis who were to carry out his missionary activities in India and beyond the borders of India. You come here to Vrindavan and you reestablish the lost places of Krishna's pastimes. Number one. Number two, you establish the worship of the deity form of the Lord, which was primarily the process of dharma in the Dwapara Yuga. And you assimilate all this knowledge which has come down from Vedavyas, and you write books on the science of Krishna consciousness. Specifically, you demonstrate how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Panama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. You establish Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, and you disseminate Krishna's instructions, specifically Bhagavad Gita, and the XYZs of transcendental knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, around. You compile that knowledge and you show Krishna as the Supreme Person and you give the process of devotional service to the Lord. So the Goswamis did that. They sat here in Vrindavan and they went through all the various Vedic scriptures and demonstrated or showed how Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we're all his eternal servants. They wrote books and books and volumes of literatures, especially Srila Jiva Goswami, on the science of devotional service. They set the precedent. And soon after the departure of the Goswamis, the next generation, Narottam, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Pandit, they were deputed with the first task of sending that message out from Sri Vrindavan to Bengal, because there were devotees in Bengal and there were devotees in Vrindavan and Orissa, but primarily these two particular parts of India. And we know the story, the pastime of the of Narottam and Srinivas and Shamananda taking the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. Actually, there was only one copy of each book at that time, really the seed of the Sankirtan movement. And the books were almost lost, as we know, on the way to Bengal, but by the efforts of Srinivasacharya, they were recovered, and they were copied subsequently down to the generations. Hand by hand, they were copied. But generally, this was for the scholarly persons, the pundits, the sadhus. They would, it was very meticulous to copy that book and not change anything, copyright one. So it was increasing. But then some generations later, with the appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who understood the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this knowledge was meant to be available for everyone, he began translating and disseminating that knowledge, both in the actual scriptures and through his own writings, which are considered by the Acharyas as good as the Vedas, because he's a pure devotee, a fully self-realized soul. And he actually demonstrated Mahaprabhu's inner desire that this movement go all over the world by sending the first book to McGill University, I think that's in Canada, The Life and Precepts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're actually going over the history of book distribution, a brief summary of the history of book distribution. He instilled the same desire in his illustrious son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who took it one step further by utilizing the printing press. Actually, after the departure of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's described in Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's epic book on the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that soon after the departure of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tried to establish a press in Calcutta. And he worked alone for 1 year. No one came forward to help him. He struggled for 1 year to get the press going, get the books out. Eventually, some fortunate souls realized his greatness and came forward and assisted him, and then the Sankirtan movement started. So, like father, like son, his illustrious son, our glorious spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he passed the baton, as we say in French. You have the race, where for a team of four, there's a medley race. One goes around the track, he has the baton to the second person who runs around, and the third person, and then there's the fastest person is always the fourth person. They give the baton to him, and he runs around. So there's different groups of four. The medley race. The baton of transcendental knowledge was handed to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the instruction was not just given to Srila Prabhupada to preach through the medium of the English-speaking language. That instruction was also given to others, Prabhupada's godbrothers, but it was our Prabhupada who took it to heart. One day he was reading a commentary on Bhagavad Gita by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one particular verse in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one should take the instruction of the spiritual master as one's very life and soul. And we know that Prabhupada got the instruction from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. You look like an intelligent, educated man. Why don't you take the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English-speaking world. Prabhupada said one time that even before he finished his obeisances at the first meeting in Calcutta, even before he got up from offering his obeisances to the sadhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was already instructing him. He realized his eternal disciples, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, realized Arshita and said, "You." So he took that to heart. And many times that instruction was given in different ways. If you ever get money, print books. So it took a little time because Prabhupada had his schooling, he had his business, he had his householder life. It was all the arrangement of the Lord. And then eventually, Srila Prabhupada took up that same mission that's been coming down for 5,000 years from Srila Vedi Vyas. And according to time, place, and circumstance, this is the ability of the acharya to see how to apply the message according to time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, began writing, back to Godhead magazine. He would write it. He would take it to the printers in Delhi. He would take it off the press, and he would go onto the streets of Delhi and single-handedly, continuing the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this specific way, he would distribute the magazines. Even sometimes we hear fainting due to the hot sun of India in the summer. One day a friend told him, "This is very nice, this distribution of magazines, but if you can distribute books, it will have a greater effect. Because the magazine is read and put to the side, but it's a book is something that people will keep and can refer to." Then he began writing his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And with just a couple of trunks of books, he set sail for the West to fulfill the prediction of Srila Vedi Vyas that this knowledge would create a revolution in the lives of peoples of the misdirected civilization of Kali Yuga. Who would have known? When Prabhupada left Calcutta on that fateful day, there was only one person to see him off, his first disciple, who just waved as this big Jaladuta ship took off. Such an historic moment. Generally, at historic moments, there's many people gathered to honor the occasion. But there's only one person. And when Prabhupada arrived in America, there was only one person to greet him, some representative of a travel agency that had been prearranged. But Prabhupada said when he got off the boat, he didn't know whether to go left or right. But he was armed with two important things: faith in the holy names and faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. And he began distributing the books. He would go store to store, bookstores in New York. He would go to the stores himself and sell the books. Yes. Something was coming in this way. And gradually, history has shown a few fortunate souls came forward from the streets of New York and joined Prabhupada's Sankirtan movement. In the beginning, he didn't have them distributing books. He was just trying to increase their faith in Krishna consciousness. Basically, he was just lecturing, chanting, and distributing slices of apples. The only rule to follow was you had to chant Hare Krishna. And then one day, a devotee came up to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, are there some, Swamiji, are there some rules and regulations we should follow?" Prabhupada said, "I thought you would never ask." So he wrote down, those who live in the ashram must follow these four regulative principles, attend classes, etc., no coffee, tea. And that became the famous little page you see on the door of every brahmachari ashram, even today. Then one day, after a very ecstatic kirtan in the 26th Second Avenue ashram, Prabhupada said, "Take it outside." "What?" "Take the kirtan to the streets." And fortunately, there was somebody did a film of that, and it's famous now in ISKCON amongst the many films that are there. You can look deep down and find that happiness on Second Avenue. I don't remember what the film was called, but devotees, Gargamuni and Brahmananda and the big drum. You can see a little intimidated, a little nervous going out. And gradually going to the park and chanting. And then gradually Prabhupada introduced the principle of book distribution. Later on he said, "What will your 10-minute lecture do if they get one of my books? They can read that line in the book and their lives can become perfect." Because Krishna consciousness is always potent, but it's especially potent when it's heard from the lips of a pure devotee. When the holy name is chanted from the lips of a pure devotee, when the glories of the holy name are explained from the lips of a pure devotee, it has a special potency. This is why when I travel, and I always encourage devotees to listen to Prabhupada's lectures, and of all the nice, wonderful bhajans we have presently in ISKCON are talented musicians, and they sing with purity. Nothing compares to putting a tape of Śrīla Prabhupāda, hearing and seeing Narottam Das Thakur's or Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. Lest we forget, we must remind ourselves of the special potency of hearing from a pure devotee like Śrīla Prabhupāda. So he introduced the distribution of books, and gradually I remember there was the Boston Press in Boston began, devotees began printing and distributing. I received one of the original Ishopanishads, blue with gold lettering, and Prabhupada was angry because it just said, I think it said A.C. Bhakti, it said Bhaktivedanta Swami or something, and Prabhupada said, "No, you must put His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness." Remember that debate going on? In this way he trained us. And then always preaching the importance of the distribution of books. And then in the early 70s, the L.A. devotees, they took the message to heart. And they thought that, well, this period of the year, Christmas, because the West is primarily Christian, it's a favorable time for distributing this knowledge, because people are, in a sense, in a spirit of giving. Christmas, you give Christmas presents. Maybe you don't know so much about it, but it's like Diwali. You give sweets. So then they give presents. And like Jesus said, it's better to give than it is to receive. So in that spirit of that month and a half where people are buying and giving, devotees would go out and they began the first Christmas marathon. Everybody went out, and just a small group of devotees remained behind to maintain the deity worship Prabhupada authorized. And when they sent the results to Prabhupada, he was very happy. So many quotes, "Nothing pleases me more than this book distribution." Because it was fulfilling the order of his Guru Maharaj and his Guru Maharaj and the desire originally of Srila Vaidehi Vyasa to create a revolution in Western countries by the dissemination of knowledge through the printed word. So the rest is history. All of us are sitting here today because of the proliferation of that knowledge through Prabhupada's books. Directly and indirectly, that knowledge has had an amazing effect on modern civilization. Many of the trends in modern society towards Indian culture in the form of vegetarianism, yoga, the acceptance of philosophical points like reincarnation, karma. People can't pinpoint it. But obviously it's there due to the proliferation of knowledge through Prabhupada's books. And we must keep stoking the fire. It shouldn't be that book distribution was a phenomenon that took place in the 70s and to some degree the 80s, and because of various cultural reasons and this and the good times and the bad times that our movement has gone through, that book distribution decreases. It shouldn't just be a phase of the movement that faded out in due course of time. It was Prabhupada's specific desire. Other programs can and should go on. Prabhupada told us one time, tax your brains how to spread this movement. And devotees are doing that. Now we have internet. Now we have festival programs. Now we have bhakti viksha programs. This is all fine and well. But it should never be at the expense of this, the central instruction of Srila Prabhupada to maintain this book distribution. We can't question it. It should go on. And in that way, the movement will always be healthy. It's not one or the other. All these programs can go on simultaneously. One time I had a dilemma if I should do this or that. And I went to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj and I said, "It's one or the other." He said, "Why one or the other, Indradhana Maharaj? Why not this and that?" "Oh yeah, okay, I can do both." So as we come up with novel ideas, and we should because times change, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, progress means to make the necessary adjustments on the way to the goal. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he adjusted things so that the preaching could expand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati adjusted things in a very radical way. He rode in motor cars, he wore Western clothes, leather shoes, to impress the British so that they could see this as a valuable culture and hear the message. Prabhupada had our ladies live in the temples. He gave Gayatri Mantra to the women. He sent us out on the streets in Western clothes. This is all novel. It wasn't accepted in ancient culture. But according to time, place, and circumstances, novel waves of spreading the movement were continuously coming up. And now we're also doing the same. But it shouldn't be at the expense of this most important instruction to continue the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So we're very happy to hear how successful the local devotees here in Vrindavan and UP were in that particular service. In many ways, India is the front runner in every year in the distribution of Prabhupada's literature. So all glories to the Indian Yatra for continuing this missionary activities. We must always remember that first and foremost, ISKCON is a missionary movement. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, sometimes I feel so sad to see how people are suffering in this world. Very nice statement. In the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, another great devotee. Prabhupada shot back, why sometimes? We are first and foremost preachers. And this is one of the ways we serve the holy name. Kali Kali Namarupa Krishna Avatar. The holy name is also an incarnation of the Lord, primarily meant for the Kali Yuga. It's Krishna himself. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And that holy name is meant to be disseminated throughout the entire world. Our whole lives revolve around chanting Hare Krishna and distributing the Maha Mantra to others. We sit down every morning. Nowadays there's so many seminars, the Japa Seminar. All glories to the Japa Seminar. Physician, heal thyself. You can't cure others unless you're strong in Krishna consciousness. So any preaching program begins with good sadhana. Not that the preaching is at the expense of the sadhana. That means you'll burn out after some time. Good sadhana, as my glorious godbrother, Satchinanda Swami, says, the three P's, posture, pronunciation, and prayer. That's how we chant japa. Prabhupada said, sit properly. And every time the tape's playing in the temple room, Prabhupada's japa tape, you look around, sit properly, you see everyone sit up. Pronunciation, every syllable, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. From the first Hare to the last Rama, 16 rounds. Pronunciation and prayer. Not to chant mechanically and then pull the last round down, but with some feeling. One time in Boston, a guest, Bhakta Michael, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why the same thing over and over? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like, what does it mean? Prabhupada closed his eyes and, what does it mean, the Hare Krishna mantra? And Prabhupada had always given his standard answer, my dear Lord, my dear inner to the Lord, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your devotional service. This time Prabhupada said, what does it mean? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It means, my friend, my friend, my friend. The Maha Mantra is more than a mantra. Nowadays there's the mantra meditation. It's more like a prayer, isn't it? My dear Lord, my dear eternal consort of the Lord, Radharani, most merciful, please, won't you reestablish me somehow in your eternal devotionals? It's a prayer of the heart. So when we chant, we have to chant with devotion. So that's our japa. That establishes. That gives the purification. It uproots. It destroys to the root the karmic reactions of many sinful activities. It uproots the material desires and throws them to a distant place. And it gives us the chance to awaken that prem, that love that is dormant within the hearts. And then we come together in the temple and we chant loudly. Japa is softly. It's murmured, like Gayatri's murmured. Murmured means not silent, not loud, so others can hear. So japa is generally low tone, although when many devotees, it's like transcendental beehive. It's very nice. But we hear how the Goswamis in their kirtans, when they can, it's to the very loud they're chanting. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says in his Bhakti Sandarbha that the congregational chanting of the holy names is so important because he says even a neophyte devotee can sometimes experience ecstatic symptoms in the midst of such a kirtan with devotees. When you come together, we all come together and we chant in the temple or, I don't know, it's even more powerful. And then, like Mahaprabhu said at Shiva Sangam one day, take the chanting to the streets of Nadia. Go out. Because the holy name becomes especially merciful to those who distribute it to others. Srinam Prabhu. The holy name is a person. It's none different than Krishna. So as a person has likes and dislikes and preferences, the holy name is especially merciful to devotees who take the name to the streets in the form of kirtan or book distribution or festivals or college seminars. When we make it public, we make the mantra, it's not a secret mantra, we make it public, then Srinam Prabhu, Krishna says in Gita, there's none more dear to me than those who are preaching this eternal message of the Gita. Or Krishna. Gita means song, the words of the Lord. But just like we have Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, all are on the absolute plane, transcendental holy places. But they also differ in their quality of their prema. Dwarka is in the mood of Aishwarya, on veneration. Mathura has a little mixture of on veneration and prema. But Vrindavan, it's pure prema. So in the same way, we have our japa, we have our... Prabhupada said the most important instruction of the spiritual master, of all the instructions one may receive, both in general, through reading Prabhupada's books, listening to his lectures and his tapes, and getting a personal instruction, of all the instructions, the most important is to rigorously chant every day 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Perfect! Actually, it's the one service that we vow never to fail in. At the time of initiation, we promise our spiritual master, my dear spiritual master, the one service that I vow that I will always offer to your lotus feet is the chanting of my six. I promise to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regular disciplines. It's the one service out of all the seva we do in our lifetime that we vow I shall not fail in this service. Interesting. Perfect. But in this age, the sadhus came out of the forest, out of the kunja, and they gathered together by the order of Gauranga. And they chanted together, like Narottam Das Thakur. He had his special kirtan, special way of dancing. His beautiful melodies, which melted the hearts of even devotees like Srinivasacharya, Shyamananda Pandit, Mother Janava. His kirtan was especially imbued with devotion and dancing. His kirtan was so special that congregational chanting of the devotees was so special that it manifested the Panchatattva at Keturi, the first Gaurpurnim festival. Srinivas, Shyamananda, and Narottam came up with the idea. It's been 50 years since Gauranga has left. Everyone's just sitting idly, crying tears of separation. Let's ignite the fire of the Sankirtan movement. That's the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Let's have a festival. Bring the devotees back together. Establish the real doctrine of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, because people were commenting and speculating, what is Mahaprabhu's teachings? So the pundits came together, they discussed, this is Mahaprabhu's message, this is his siddhanta, this is his teachings. And then, to revive the faith of the devotees, kirtan, kirtan, and Narottam was singing, and his singing, Gauranga appeared, Nitai appeared, Advaitacharya appeared, Gadadhar, Srivas, so, such special, perfect. There's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And what is the most perfect? That when we share our good fortune with others, this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. We have been blessed, but to retain that blessed state and to increase and expand on it, we must go out and share Krishna consciousness with others. When that spirit dies, the movement dies along with it. That is the spirit of ISKCON. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is non-different than my body. And that was Prabhupada's mood. Who knows who Srila Prabhupada is in the spiritual world? We're not meant to speculate. But something extraordinary. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, who are you in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada said, if I told you, you would faint. And one time Prabhupada was sick. And when you become sick, you become pale, weak and whitish. And Prabhupada got his health back and his color came back, that beautiful golden, reddish gold color Prabhupada. And one devotee came in, oh, Prabhupada, you look well again. Prabhupada said, yes, I've got my color back, this reddish gold. He said, this is my color in the spiritual world. The devotee told me this. He was Prabhupada's secretary. And the devotee went, wow. And he went to Nectar Devotion to try to find the corresponding. But we shouldn't speculate. Our relationship with Srila Prabhupada at this stage of our sadhan bhakti is that he's our spiritual master. He's our direct spiritual master, or he's our grandfather's spiritual master. But everyone, direct disciple, next generation, third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation, everyone has the same access to Srila Prabhupada through the parampara. It's not that Prabhupada's mercy is more there for his disciples. No. Anywhere you plug into the electrical cord, you get the same dose of energy. Not here, it's more than here, it's the same. But you have to know how to connect through the guru parampara. The disciple becomes the next spiritual master. That has been the tradition for millions and millions and millions of years. So this was, whoever Prabhupada is in the spiritual world, engaged now in his Nitya Leela, what was his mood here? His mood was the same of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. If God comes here and he enjoys the Sankirtan movement of congregational chanting of the holy names, what more do we want? When he comes here and he displays his pastimes of preaching Krishna consciousness, that is something remarkable. God himself enjoys the pastime of disseminating knowledge in the form of Nagar Sankirtan. And that was Prabhupada's mood. That was the mood of his guru. That was Prabhupada. Those of you, or to some small degree myself, that was always Prabhupada's mood. When he came to the temple from the Vyasasana, so, how many books have been distributed? How many devotees have been made? How many temples have been opened? This was the mode of a Vaikuntha, let us say a Brajabasi from Goloka Vrindavan, well, in this material realm. This was his mood. So by serving his mood here, we qualify to serve his mood there. Whatever that mood may be, Manjari Bhav, whatever, we should not speculate. Whatever his mood is there, we qualify ourselves by serving his mood here, which is how many books have been distributed, how many temples have been opened, how many devotees, what novel ways are you thinking to spread this Sankirtan movement in an authorized way according to the time, places. Always that. The results. That's what gives pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. We saw so many times. Nothing pleases me more than this book distribution. This is one of the principal reasons Mahaprabhu appeared. To spread the chanting of Hare Krishna, and of course he had his internal bhav, his internal mood, to experience the loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani. So first things first, he put the horse before the cart. We will become qualified, first deserve, then desire. We will become qualified as we want, as we know, the Siddhanta, Goloka Vrindavan, all those wonderful lila. We want to be part of that. We'll become part of it by pleasing our spiritual master. Everything is based on Guru Nishtha, faith in the instruction of the spiritual master. And we know how much this preaching pleased. So we can't let that missionary spirit fade in time in ISKCON. Nowadays we have the japa seminars. Perfect. Nowadays, we have the bhajans, especially all glories to the younger generation, who has picked up this mood of bhajan, sitting together, purifying our hearts, getting a taste for devotional service, communities like New Raman Reti, Alachua. Every day, every year, Madhava Prabhu comes through. Badahari Prabhu is there. And Satchinandan Swami with his Kirtan Mela in Germany. And Sri Prahlad and the devotees in Australia. It's a wonderful phenomena, a new phenomena, but certainly authorized. Coming together, strong emphasis. My only complaint is, where is the strong emphasis on going out and sharing our good fortune with others? To some degree, I have to say that it's faded. It's faded a little bit. We don't go out like we used to, the old days, when our main focus was sharing our good fortune with others. And if you think like that about the welfare of others, that is the heart of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava's heart is that he's sad when he sees people bereft of Krishna consciousness, and his sole source of happiness is when he sees others get the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. This is the refining our focus. Like when you're, if you're a photographer, you know a lot about focus. Now they have automatic focus. You just click. It's all about focusing, then taking the picture. So what is our focus? This movement is a missionary movement. It's meant to deliver the entire human society. And if we sit back and simply relish the process ourselves, which we should, but if we leave it at that, oh, that was nice bhajan. Well, the whole world's going to hell, and we have the answers to their hellish situations, both economically, environmentally, politically, psychologically. We have the answers to their dilemma. If we don't go out and solve their problems, we have not pleased your problem. We talk about going back home, back to Godhead. That is a noble ideal. But we cannot go back to Godhead unless we have fulfilled the desires of our spiritual master, our founder, Acharya Sridhar Prabhupada. And he has very big desires that the whole world, Krishna should be famous. There should be books in every house. There should be well-established gurukuls throughout the land. Libraries should be full of Prabhupada's books. There should be farming communities, self-sufficient farming communities. There should be a strong program to fight atheism in its form of science in the modern day. Prabhupada says, why is no one challenging these rascals? Life comes from matter. There's no soul. It's okay to kill the child in the womb. It's a hellish world out there. Schools, farms, temples, deity worship, book distribution. We have a lifetime of service ahead of us. So when these things are all done, and a lot of it will be done simply by informing people of the way to do it through the books, because they're out there. People will read. Maybe not now, but the time will come when the situation of this world becomes so deplorable, people will beg for some positive alternative, and it will be there, the form of Prabhupada. Vedic culture has existed down to the present moment because it was always there in the Sanskrit language. Foreign invasions came and went, and this happened, but always there in Sanskrit, so you could always find the answers in that language. So the time will come, and we have to make sure that that answer to their problems is out there. This is our duty. And when that's done, we can go to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, mission accomplished. What's next? Mama janmani janmani ishware bhavata bhakti ahaitaki. I'm ready to take birth again and again and again. Why? Because I will not ask to go back to Godhead until the mission of my guru is fulfilled in this world. We have not completed this one instruction to disseminate knowledge throughout the world, and we're going and asking for the highest cherished blessing. This is our mood. Of course, Prabhupada may decide, well enough, you can go now. There's others now who are the second generation, third generation. They're taking up. So he may. But our mood should be, we should not ask for the highest benediction until we have fulfilled the desires of our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. So we thank those who have done this austerity of going out and distributing books in this marathon. It's an austerity, but it's like child's play for a Sankirtan devotee. Prabhupada wrote one of my godmothers. He said, I can understand how difficult it is you're traveling in England in the winter during the Christmas time, and it's snowing and it's cold. You don't know where you're going to stay. You may not get sufficient food. He said, it's very difficult, but he said, because it's Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, Panam Drishta Nivartante, you're getting that higher taste. For you, all these austerities are like child's play. Like children, they like to go out in the rain, play in the puddle. Mother's going, ah! Child's thinking, ah! So these austerities for a Sankirtan devotee, it's like child's play. We love to preach Krishna. It's not an austerity. Maybe the first few days or weeks of our career in Krishna consciousness. There's nothing more satisfying than giving someone else the opportunity for devotional service. And when you go out there and preach Krishna consciousness in various ways, as a sannyasi, as a brahmachari, as a grihastra, just telling your neighbors about Krishna consciousness, cooking some prasadam for them, or having a home program, there's so many ways. It all makes up the complete movement of Lord Chaitanya, everyone according to his means. There's no greater satisfaction. So if you're feeling some disturbance in your heart, if you're having some difficulty, go out and preach. Again, it's better to give than it is to receive. It will solve your problems and the problems of the world, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said one time in a famous lecture. This preaching will make your life perfect and it will make others' lives perfect. So thank you to the local brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, grihastras who took the message to heart. Thank you for the support teams, the pujaris who stayed back and maintained the deity worship very nicely, as it always is here in Vrindavan. Thank you to the temple administration for facilitating everybody. Thank you to all the devotees who in various ways helped them. And thank you to the people who were there to receive this message. We also thank the people who graciously accepted the mercy which we are humbly offering them on behalf of our spiritual masters and Srila Prabhupada. The people make it perfect. If there was no people to preach to, what would it be? Actually, describes that Balaram takes more pleasure in the pastimes in Kali Yuga than he does 5,000 years ago with Krishna, because as Nitai, he can freely distribute. He's the original spiritual master. He can freely distribute this knowledge. 5,000 years ago, they were displaying the transcendental pastimes. Come everyone, watch this transcendental stage of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Look. And people would watch and become inspired. The Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that Balaram takes special pleasure in Kali Yuga. He comes as Nitai, and he becomes the general on the battlefield of Sankirtan. He goes out himself and gives the mercy, him and Haridas Thakur, to the fallen. So this is a special opportunity for us. It's a special opportunity for the people. So thank you once again, all the wonderful Sankirtan devotees, the supporters, the helpers, and even if you could only give your good wishes to the Sankirtan devotees, thank you to one and all. Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yajna Ki. Translated by Bhakta Sudarshan Ki. Go Premanandi!